Yes, amen. Praise the Lord for that message and song this morning. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of John in chapter 8, John in chapter 8, I'm going to be reading verse 31 down to verse 36. What a blessing it's been already just being in the Lord's house. And praise the Lord for all the good music that we have listened to and been ministered to by. And now we're looking to the Word of God to find what God has for us through the preaching of His Word. And so if you'll stand with me this morning, we're going to be reading in John chapter 8. And we're going to be reading verse 31 down to verse 36. John chapter 8, verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you this morning, Lord God, we thank you for what we've already experienced in our worship service. But God, I believe what is to come is vitally important because there'll be some making decisions on their eternal destiny today. There'll be others making decisions on their spiritual freedom and enjoying the blessings of that today. Whatever the need is in each and every one of our lives, I pray, God, that you would speak to us individually and collectively as we have need. I pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. If the Son shall make you free, ye shall be. No question about it. Free indeed. Today we're celebrating the 4th of July weekend. It's our Independence Day. In 1776, a new nation was birthed 240 years ago. It became known as the land of the free. And we've heard some songs that said it's been under God the whole time. We find that on our currency. We find that in the pledges that we make to our flag. I love this poem. It says, "I am the United States." It says, "I was born on July 4th, 1776. And the Declaration of Independence is my birth certificate. The bloodlines of the world run in my veins. Because I offered freedom to the oppressed, I am the United States. I am the 300 million plus living souls and the ghost of millions who have lived and died for me. I am Nathan Hale and Paul Revere. I stood at Lexington and fired the shot heard around the world. I am Washington, Jefferson, Patrick Henry. I am John Paul Jones, the Green Mountain Boys, and Davy Crockett. I am Lee, Grant, and Abe Lincoln. I am the Brooklyn Bridge, the wheat lands of Kansas, the granite hills of Vermont. I am the coal fields of the Virginias, and Pennsylvania, the fertile lands of the West, the Golden Gate, and the Grand Canyon. I am Independence Hall, the Monitor, and the Merrimack. I am big. I sprawl from the Atlantic to the Pacific, 3 million square miles throbbing with industry. I am more than 5 million farms. I am forest, field, mountain, and desert. I am quiet villages and cities that never sleep. You can look at me and see Ben Franklin walking down the streets of Philadelphia with his bread loaf under his arm. You can see Betsy Ross with her needle. You can see the lights of Christmas and hear the strands of Auld Lang Syne as a calendar turns. I am Babe Ruth and the World Series. I am 169,000 schools and colleges, 250,000 churches where people worship God as they think best. I am a ballad dropped in a box, the roar of a crowd in a stadium, and the voice of a choir in a cathedral. I am an editorial in a newspaper and a letter to a congressman. I am Eli Whitney, Stephen Foster. I am Tom Edison, Albert Einstein, Billy Graham. I am Horace Greeley, Will Rogers, and the Wright brothers. I am George Washington Carver, Daniel Webster, Jonas Salk. I am Longfellow, Harriet Beecher Stowe, Walt Whitman, Thomas Paine. Yes, I am the nation, and these are the things that I am. I was conceived in freedom, and God willing, in freedom will I spend the rest of my days. May I possess always the integrity, the courage, and the strength to keep myself unshackled, to remain a citadel of freedom and a beacon of hope to the world. I am the United States. Wow. There's no doubt that there has been many sacrificed much to offer freedom to every U.S. citizen. But there is no doubt it was God, and still is God, who enables America to offer this freedom to all. Patrick Henry, who is called the firebrand of the American Revolution, who is still remembered for these words, "Give me liberty or give me death." But in current textbooks, the context of these words is deleted, because this is what he actually said. "An appeal to arms and the God of hosts is all that is left us. But we shall not fight our battle alone. There is a God that presides over the destinies of nations. The battle, sir, is not of the strong alone. Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death." Wow. When you read that in the context of which it was given, it even means more. The first court justice, John Jay, he stated that when we select our national leaders, if we are to preserve our nation, we must select Christians. Providence has, this is exact words, "Providence has given to our people the choice of their rulers, and it is the duty as well as the privilege and interest of our Christian nation to select and prefer Christians for their rulers." Wow. Calvin Coolidge, our 30th president of the United States, reaffirmed this truth when he wrote this: "The foundations of our society and of our government rest so much on the teachings of the Bible that it would be difficult to support them if faith in these teachings would cease to be practically universal in our country. Wow. In 1782, the United States Congress voted this resolution. Quote, "The Congress of the United States recommends and approves the Holy Bible for use in all schools." This is our heritage. And then lastly here, what I'm going to read, James Madison, the primary author of the Constitution of the United States, said this: "We have staked the whole future of our new nation not upon the power of government, far from it. We have staked the future of all our political constitutions upon the capacity of each of ourselves to govern ourselves according to the moral principles of the Ten Commandments." Wow. There's so much more. And today, government's trying to pass some laws that we stop teaching U.S. history to our children. The foundation of this great nation is God. And the moral code that we are to live by are His Ten Commandments. Wow. So, yes, it was God. In our text, as we read this, the Jews look to Abraham concerning their freedom. Jesus would address this. In John chapter 8, the Bible says, "And they answered him, We be Abraham's seed. We're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Somewhat the mentality of those Americans today that might say, "Hey, this is our nation. We can pass whatever laws we want to pass. We can establish morality based upon human nature. And that will change with every generation," in which Americans ought to be focused on the God of America, who has given to us our freedom and who continues to allow us to offer freedom to every United States citizen. And so as Jesus is addressing these Jews, and these are Jews that believed in him, and yet they were still looking to Abraham for their freedom. They said, "We've been of Abraham's seed. We have no need of being made free." The Bible says in verse 35, Jesus addressing them after that, he says, "And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever." And he's referring to the servant as the Old Testament law. It was just a servant. It never was meant to be eternal. But the Son, what He provides, is meant to be eternal. And that's when He says, after establishing that to the Jews, "If the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Freedom. Can I tell you that the freedom provided by our United States of America gives us this physical freedom? Every citizen of this great United States is allowed to make their own choices every day. Because you're an American citizen living in America, you choose when you go to bed at night and when you get up. That's part of freedom. You choose. Now, if you're under your parents, you still haven't got quite the freedom that you're maybe looking to. You might still be under the law of mom and dad. But the idea here is when you become independent and you can start paying the bills yourself, amen? You don't realize that. And most young people don't realize that somebody has to pay for the house you live in and the utilities that you use and the food on the table. And they don't realize that. They just think, "Hey, I get to make my own decisions." And then they get out and realize there is a few things attached to that freedom. But if you're a United States citizen, you get to make choices for your life. Every day you make choices when to go to bed, when to get up. Every day, as a United States citizen, you have the choice of when and what to eat. Amen. That's freedom. In this great United States of America, there's plenty of food. Amen. And praise the Lord for that. And if you are a citizen, you can walk into any restaurant, you can walk into any store, and you can purchase and you can choose when and what you're going to eat because you have this physical freedom. You get to choose every day how to dress yourself. Everyone chooses every day what you're going to put on. That represents who you are. That's a testimony of who you are every day. You get to make a choice on whether you're going to stay single or you're going to get married. And then you lose all your freedom after you get married. You get to make the choice. Is I want to live alone or do I want to marry? And then we get married. Do we want to have children? How many children? Brother Buddy, there is no limit. Amen? Hallie does not want to hear that, but Buddy, there's no limit. You get to make that choice. Because of the United States, you have been given freedom, and freedom means that you have liberties, and freedom means that you get to make choices every day. Why risk losing that? Why would anyone risk losing this freedom? And yet, many have. And are now spending their lives incarcerated. Being told what to do. Being told when to get up. Being told when to go to bed. Being told what to dress, how to dress. You lose it all. Even though you're still living in the United States of America, you have given up your freedom by doing something that is against the law. And when you break the law and are incarcerated, you lose your privileges, your status of being able to make your own choices. Can I tell you that Jesus was not speaking of physical freedom? He was offering them spiritual freedom, which is far more important than even physical freedom. You see, the only one that can give us spiritual freedom is the Son. Chapter 8, verse 31, he says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him." Now, these are Jews that believed on him. "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. You believe in me if you just keep looking to me, making the decisions that you know that I want you to make, and then you're going to be my disciples, and there's blessings that are associated with my disciples, and ye shall know the truth, and it's the truth that shall make you free." And the truth of salvation is there's only one way that God has established for mankind to be reconciled to God, and that is through the very blood that Jesus Christ himself shed on Calvary's cross some 2,000 years ago. Old Testament looking forward to the Messiah coming. New Testament looking back to when Jesus Christ paid our sin debt, a debt that we owe and could not pay. The only one that can give us spiritual freedom is Jesus Christ. The Bible says in chapter 8, verse 34, "And Jesus said to them," when they said, "Hey, we're Abraham's seed, we're free," he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Sin enslaves all who yield to it." And the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." That means that we all have a sin nature, and it's because of a sin nature we are more apt to commit sin. One of the things that we want to do as a church, and one of the things I want to do as a pastor, is warn people of the consequences of sin. And you first of all have to determine what is sin.
Well, if you know the truth will reveal that to you. And if you know the truth and you continue to make the right decisions, that is to follow Jesus Christ, because he tells you what you should do and what you shouldn't do. He tells you what's sin and what's not sin. And as you follow him, you make the right decisions, then you can sin not. And when you turn away from sin, then you can experience a joy of freedom, spiritual freedom. But if you continue to live in sin, then that sin is what enslaves an individual. Can I tell you, I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that if you are committing something that God says not to do, every time you do that, you fall further and further into slavery. You are more and more engrossed by that sin, and that sin puts you back into bondage. And many are in bondage today because they are continuing to make the decisions to yield to sin. And as a church of Jesus Christ, as a pastor of the gospel of this Bible right here, I want to preach the truths of the Bible to help people to see the light. And if you're following the light, that is following Jesus Christ, you can make the right decisions and you can be freed from the consequences and the slavery of sin. Because anyone that yields to sin becomes a servant to that sin. We love people, but we are living in a society that has put a green light on sin. And they are actually leading the people who decide to live that way and decide to commit to these sins. They're leading them into bondage, spiritual bondage, where Satan is the prince of the power of the air. His desire is not to bless you. His desire is to make you miserable. His desire is to keep you entrapped and enslaved and ultimately take you to a devil's hell. The only way to avoid that is through the Son. And the first thing, the first step to getting the victory and becoming free is to look to Jesus Christ and the blood that was shed on Calvary's cross, and his blood can forgive and cleanse you of your sin and set you free. Wow. The only one that can give us spiritual freedom is the Son. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3:17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. It's not America. America can offer you physical freedoms. As long as you abide by the laws of the land, you can maintain those physical freedoms. But when you turn away from and break the law, then you have to suffer the consequences of breaking the law. And the consequences of breaking the law for physical freedom is you're incarcerated. And when you're incarcerated, you lose your freedom to make choices. And you are governed by that institution that they have placed you in. But when you look to Jesus Christ and receive that which the United States cannot provide for you, although it gives us a safe haven to be able to have, be able to worship as we choose to worship. And it's Christianity that has allowed other denominations to worship in this United States of America, that has given them the freedom of religion. It's Christianity that has offered that to them to worship freely. But when you receive Christ, he has set you free. And you are free indeed, spiritually. Yeah. Spiritual freedom gives us much. Spiritual freedom gives us power, first of all, and I think the most important, power to overcome the flesh. And when we overcome the power of the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, then we can sin not. And we can make right choices. John chapter 8 here in verse 12, Jesus said to them, he says, then spake Jesus again unto them and saying, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Listen to me. I have the truth. I have what can illuminate your life. I can help you see the truth and know the truth. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me. It's a choice that every one of us have to make. But because of Jesus Christ, we have the truth. And because of Jesus Christ, he has set you free from the bondage of sin. And now with the spiritual freedom, you have a choice, because through him, you can overcome Satan. You can overcome the flesh. You can overcome lust. You can make right decisions. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. When you follow Jesus Christ and you know the truth, and that's going to set you free, and you can enjoy the freedom of knowing that I am making the right decisions. I'm making decisions that is pleasing to God and that God can bless in my life. I'm not making decisions to be the servant of sin. I'm making the right decisions, because the right decisions is what Jesus Christ has revealed to me. I'm not making decisions based upon lust. I'm not making decisions based on human philosophies. I'm not making decisions based upon what the world says. I am making my decisions based upon what God has revealed to me as being the light, as being truth. Wow. Verse 31, then Jesus said again to those Jews which believed him, if you just continue in my word, I'm the light. I've revealed to you what the right thing to do is. I've revealed to you truth. If you just continue, how do you continue in that? Make the right decisions. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. A disciple is someone that is like the one that you're following. And Jesus set the example for us. And as we make decisions that follow him to do what he says to do, I become his disciple. And there is a tremendous blessing in knowing that I am actually a disciple of Jesus Christ. Yeah. Knowing I am actually living in the light. The blessings of the spiritual freedom is the power to overcome the flesh and the power to overcome this human nature and to sin not. Allows me to make right choices. Not only do we have this power, but we have fellowship with God. If you've ever experienced fellowship with God, you want it over and over again. When it's just you and God, and your belief takes you into the very holies of holies. Your faith takes you up to where you can just sense the presence of God. And you can know that he listens to you and he is speaking to you by his spirit, bearing witness with your spirit. Can I tell you, there is nothing more enjoyable. There is nothing that can bring a greater peace into my heart and my life than to know I am walking in fellowship with God. No matter what storm you go through, no matter what's taking place on this planet Earth, if you're walking in fellowship with God, there is a peace that passeth all understanding. There is something about knowing that I'm walking with God because I know who God is that gives me a joy in the midst of the storm, a joy that the world cannot take away. A greater joy than knowing that I'm safe and living in the United States of America. I am safe and living in the United States of America because this great nation, the most powerful nation on this planet Earth, offers me this physical freedom. I don't have to worry as much about somebody coming in and invading and bombing and all the different things, although we're slowly but surely losing that peace. But you'll never lose that when you know God. That spiritual peace. Fellowship with God. You'll want that. When that trial comes your way, when that storm hits, you'll want that. It comes by way of choosing to follow Christ. It comes by way of making right decisions, not decisions based on philosophies or religion or personal preferences. Decisions based upon what thus saith the Lord. Not only that, we have purpose for life. Spiritual freedom gives us purpose for life. Understanding God has a will, and with a will, He has a purpose. Every generation that has ever walked on this planet, God had a purpose for that generation. 1776, God had a purpose for our forefathers establishing this great nation and looking to Him to determine the laws of this nation. Look to Him to determine the victories that they would receive. In every sense that generation, there has been other wars. There have been world wars. There have been other types of battles taking place. And every time this great nation, our leaders have looked to God. And God has delivered America. God has given to us and continued to allow us to offer freedom to every citizen. It's given them purpose for life. Can I tell you? I believe this is one of the most exciting times of all, because we're living in the last days when Christ will return for His church. I mean... The prophecies of this Bible are unfolding all around us. There is no doubt for anyone who understands Bible prophecy and understands this Bible, there's no doubt you can see it all around. Everything the Bible says is going to take place in the last days before the rapture is taking place. There's going to be greater temptations. There's going to be great apostasy. But for those who stay focused on God, there'll be a remnant. His church will remain until He determines to call it out. Amen. Yeah. Exciting times. The blessings of spiritual freedom are answered to prayer. The blessings of spiritual freedom are the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians in chapter 5, you want to know what that is? Galatians in chapter 5, you can have all of this as you yield to the Spirit, as you live for God and do what God tells you to do, then you can enjoy the fruit of the Spirit. And that's the Spirit of God that dwells within you. The Bible says this in chapter 5, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. You can love. The Bible says it's joy. You can have joy. The Bible says there's peace. You can have peace. There's long-suffering. Yes, you can be long-suffering. You can be gentle. There's gentleness. There's goodness. There's faith. There's meekness. There's temperance. Against such there is no law. Listen to me. As you are yielding to God and looking to make the right decisions, then you have the blessings of spiritual freedom. You can enjoy the fruit of the Spirit. Oh, what a blessing that is. Let me ask you a question. Why would anyone risk losing it? Many would come closer to risking their physical freedom than risking their spiritual freedom. If you understand it, your spiritual freedom is more important than your physical freedom. Why would anyone want to risk spiritual freedom? See, wrong choices take away the joy of spiritual freedom. Wrong choices take away your physical freedoms, but yet, everyone that has had that freedom taken away, everyone that's incarcerated would probably tell you either I didn't do it, or if they're really honest, they said I really didn't think I'd get caught. I thought I could get by with it. I wonder if that's the case for spiritual freedom. Galatians chapter 1, almost done here, but Galatians chapter 1, you're right there. Very same chapter, he gives us the fruit of the Spirit. He says in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1 this, stand fast. Don't lose your spiritual freedoms. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. What is that? Sin. Don't sin. You're going to risk your spiritual freedom when you choose to do something that God says not to do. Or you're going to risk your spiritual freedom when you don't do something that God says to do. It's not worth it. I'm going to stay out of church today. You are. Yeah, I've got something else. I'm just too busy. Got this and that. What does God say about that? Well, I'm sure he'll understand. Can I tell you that God says what he means, and he means what he says, and when he says not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, and you forsake the assembling of yourself together, you are risking your spiritual freedom. Well, I'm going to get a divorce. Why are you going to get a divorce? I just want a different life. I just need something new. Do you know what God says about that? Well, I'm sure he'll understand. No, he won't understand. God says what he means, and he means what he says. And he says your marriage is for life. Commit to living with your wife. Commit to living with your husband. Look to God, and you can have the blessings, spiritual blessings, in a relationship that God has put his hand upon. Why risk it? You're risking more than just your physical freedom. You're risking the freedom that Jesus Christ gives to all of those who receive him as Savior. You're risking your spiritual freedom and the blessings that are associated with that. Don't entangle yourself with the yoke of bondage. See, because when you serve sin, you become the servant of that sin. Lust will entangle us. Deception will entangle us. Thinking that I can get by with sin is a lie from the devil. In closing, Acts chapter 5. The early church, a lot of things were taking place, and they were having to do some things, and all of them become one. And it was of a free will that they get to choose to do this. They were selling their substances, bringing it all together so they could live together and be a part of this early first century church and be supportive of one another. But there was someone who didn't quite want to do exactly as God would have the church to do. His name was Ananias. And Ananias brought some offering, but he made it appear as if he brought it all. In Acts chapter 5, the Bible says, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. And Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan that decision to go opposite what God would have him to do was brought upon by the devil deceiving him. Why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not thine own? You didn't have to do it. And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. Satan blinded him and deceived him in thinking, it's all right. You can get by with it. Well, all of those in prison today realize now they didn't get by with it. And they've given up their physical freedoms. But I wonder how many of us, even in this auditorium, are thinking the very same thing. And if you haven't already lost it, you are risking the blessings that are associated with your spiritual freedom. Don't give it up. It's not worth the risk. Do exactly what Christ has instructed us to do. Walk in the light and sin not. We can enjoy the blessings of spiritual freedom.
I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm thankful that this great nation, under the authority of God, has given me and continues to give me physical freedoms. It allows me to make choices. But I am even more thankful for the blood of Christ, who has set me free, and I am free indeed, but still have to make the right decisions to maintain the enjoyment the spiritual freedom gives me. Are we making the right decisions? Father, we bow before you. We love you, Lord, and thank you for loving us. And we thank you for God providing us with these United States of America. Thank you for this physical freedom that we have. But more than that, Father, we want to unite today and thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for your gift of spiritual freedom. And I pray, God, today that we would each and every one realize the blessings of it, and say within our own hearts and minds, I will not put it at risk. I will live as following my Lord, looking to be his disciple. I pray that you would speak to each one here today, and they would make the right decisions, beginning today. In Jesus' name we pray.